Good day, listeners and viewers. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. Glad that you've decided to join us today. I'm Jonathan, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes.
Yes, indeed. We are here. Yes, together here. You and I. That's good, and glad to be here.
Yeah, and I'm just so grateful that we get to do this, you know. It's exciting that we get to keep doing this. And listeners, we're grateful that you keep listening and viewing. We want to hear from you. A lot of the ideas that we get for these programs come from you. We especially love feedback, telling us what you're learning, the insights you're gaining. You can actually send us emails with those insights and thoughts at mypoint@puresexradio.com. Or, of course, you can make comments on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Mm-hmm. So, Steven, we are made in the image of God.
Good, yes.
And one of those aspects of being made in the image of God is that we are emotional beings. God carries emotion. God is a feeling God, and so therefore he's made us with the ability to feel. But every single one of us has felt the brokenness of what sin does to our emotional system, even if it's not necessarily, you know, immorality attached to our emotions. There's just a sense of brokenness there. There's a sense of stuntedness in all of us because we grew up with imperfect parents in an imperfect world with imperfect environments. That has profound impact on our emotional systems, right?
That's right.
So today we're going to try to talk about some skills maybe that would help us in being more whole in our emotional selves. Would that be fair to say?
That's good. That's good. How to be whole.
And so you've put together 12 thoughts here, 12 skills that we can dive into.
Appreciate that introduction. And the whole idea of we're spiritual beings, we're physical beings, we're emotional beings. And it's hard sometimes to understand ourselves. You go to church and you get a lot of spiritual education about God and life and goodness and grace and mercy and truth. You can go to a gym and get a coach, or when you're in school, we're taking PE and health, and there's lots of stuff to read. But in terms of emotionally, where were you emotionally trained? And what were your trainers like in terms of your mom and dad? And what set you in motion emotionally, and how well equipped, how insightful are you? And so when we see a breakdown, people do behavioral things, but there's usually an emotional reason, some beliefs that go with it, some fear, some doubt, some pain. And then we develop addictions, right? We drink too much, we gamble too much, we sex too much, whatever.
Well, and I think some of the difficulty too, in just even trying to understand the emotional system, is when you mention those other things, when you mention things like, you know, medicine, or you mentioned things like athletics or whatever, there's such empirical, tangible markers for us to be able to look at there, right? In other words, let's take what you can do physically in an athletic realm. Well, I mean, my goodness, there's stopwatches that can measure how fast have you run and how far have you gone. There's in the medical field and biology, it's like, okay, I can dissect your liver, or I can dissect your brain. We can, and not to say that our emotions are disconnected from that physical reality. In other words, when you feel certain things, do certain parts of your brain light up? Yes. But you can't necessarily have such clear, definable aspects to your emotions that you have in a lot of those other areas.
Yes, that's great. And I was thinking about a seminar I went to, and they said, well, let's talk about emotions and how do we understand emotions? And the first guy that came up with the first six emotions studied people's faces. There it is. Happy face, sad face, mad face, disgusted. There's like six emotions because he found six different facial reactions
that are pretty common among all of those emotions.
And he put a word to those faces and said, okay, so when you say study emotions, now Now, you can go online and look up emotion, and you can find like 200 emotional words with faces on them. So we've gone from 6 to 200 words, and we're still trying to figure it out. And it's funny because they were talking about what are emotions, and they said like 30 experts got together and put 200 words together to try to explain what are emotions. What are emotions?
Yeah.
And really, I've been playing with this. The whole idea of learning ourselves and learning emotions. And most people are good with happy and sad and mad and glad. And, you know, we got a basic understanding of emotions. But in my mind, if we had to narrow it down to what is it about the emotional system that we need to learn best, it's the fear part of our emotional system, right? Because you don't need training to be happy.
Right.
Or to be glad, or to experience joy and fun or laughter.
In many ways, it kind of what we often dub more towards the positive sides of emotions. You never hear people talking about, now let's talk about managing your happiness.
Yeah.
You know, or how are you gonna how are you gonna manage your joy? Yeah. You know, it's kinda like, no, you don't necessarily think of that, but what is it like to manage your fear? Or to respond to your anger in healthy ways. A lot of times the more negative emotions, we do struggle because they can often spiral us into these unhealthy right. behaviors. And
so if you think about fear, it's funny. I looked up fear in the Bible because some people say you should never have fear. If you're a Christian, never have fear. Never have fear. And so I just put fear in a Bible search. And most of it is fear of God.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But, I mean, every other psalm is fear God, fear God, yeah. fear God. And I just went through one psalm after another, fear, 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 fear. It's everywhere, you know? And it's do not fear. Well, why would they say do not fear? Well, I guess a lot of
us get
fear,
afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we have fear, you know? So I'm really trying to break down the emotional system and to refine, what am I talking about? Every emotion and everything emotional? No, the fear part of our emotional system. What are our fears? And how do our fears sort of hijack our system? You know, because you could almost trace everything back to a fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm angry. Okay, let's peel back anger. What's anger? Anger is expressed disappointment. So I'm disappointed, so I'm going to raise the volume and tell you, I told you, you said you were, and why didn't you? I'm disappointed. Okay, well, let's back up disappointment. I wanted something, and I'm afraid I'm not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the fear, right?
Yeah, and I would actually say, and I'm not disagreeing with you in any way, but I almost feel like there's another component that gets added in here that we miss. Like if you go all the way back to the garden,
okay,
and when you look at when sin, when this brokenness, when this rebellion against God entered into the human race, actually, the very, very, very first emotions was like a twofold combination. We see both fear, because when God said, where are you?
Yeah.
Well, what do? We hid.
Right.
I was afraid. But you know what also is with that? Shame.
Shame, that's right.
So I think those are really close cousins, and they kind of feed off each other. So in other words, when our fears get awakened or aroused, shame's right there. Or when our shame rises, fear attaches there. So I think these things, yes. they're not so different from one another in maybe the effect that they have on us, because I think both fear and shame, they cause us to hide, they cause us to lie, they cause us to do these kind of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So somebody was telling me recently, I'm really stressed. Okay, well, what are you stressed about? Well, I've got so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what if I don't get it all done? Okay, all right, so you might fail, right? Okay, well, what if you fail?
What happens then, yeah?
Yeah, I'll be rejected, right? And I'm fearful that I'll be rejected mm-hmm. or abandoned or neglected. I mean, if you think about it, isn't it fear that's running around inside of us that plays out and messes things up?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you say, hey, you made a mistake. It was like, what jumps up first? My fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or you say, when are you going to do this? What am I supposed to do? My fear jumps up, right? When you challenge me, fear jumps up. When you correct me, fear jumps up. When you don't like what I'm doing, fear jumps up. When you disagree, fear jumps up. So the whole idea is if we could learn fear and our fears, man, we're working deep inside ourselves. And the goal of life with the Father is peace and rest and joy, not fear, right? Because fear triggers failure and unworthiness and shame and inadequacy and unlovable, all that other stuff. But when our fear isn't acting up, we can go back to living in peace, joy, and rest.
So are you saying then, like, as we are going to be looking at these essential skills, the setup here is that really the bedrock of what we're trying to deal with in terms of being emotionally whole has this fear thread.
Yes.
That would be through it. So even if we're talking about something like dealing with wounds or dealing with, you know, anger or what, really underneath all of that in terms of emotionally maturing and being emotionally healthy is we're ultimately trying to answer this question of how am I going to handle my fear? How am I going to respond to my
fear? Yeah, and what's my fear doing to me now? Why did my fear jump up? And what just triggered my fear, right? Mm-hmm. So when we say learn ourself, I'm sort of narrowing it down to learning your fear
system. Learning your fear, yeah.
Because there's fear has a system to it. And when your fear gets triggered, then, you know, and the boss corrects me, then I'm going to go drink because he talked to me bad or he pointed out mistakes. So by golly, I'm going to go medicate my fear, right? So one, we don't like fear. We don't understand fear. Fear jumps up and fear messes us up.
Mm-hmm.
So shouldn't we learn our fear? If we're going to do emotions, isn't there one key emotion that if you figured it out, you could change your system?
And what I like about this, and because I really do believe this is true, and I believe then there's a reason, like when you were doing that search for fear in the Bible, that it comes up hundreds of times, you know,
yes.
Is because that is so core to our broken system. When God is telling us over and over again, on the one hand, there is really only one fear that is healthy and good, and that is to have the appropriate fear of God. And every other form of fear, he says, don't have it. Don't fear.
Right. Yeah.
I think that should alert us to the idea that maybe this is a core element to what it means to be human, and we need to deal with it.
Well, even that fear of God, I've been playing with it in my mind. What does it mean? Fear God, fear God, fear God. You know, fear God is the beginning of knowledge. Fear God, fear God. And I think it in my mind, I mean, look, you got to talk to somebody else if you want to look at the Greek or, you know. But I think it means serve God, learn God, know God, be afraid of missing out on who God is, fear making the mistake of not engaging God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of, as opposed to be the kid who's going to get his hand slapped and you better not make a mistake because God is going to punish you and God hates your messes and you should fear the wrath of God.
I think of it in terms of, like, when I think of what fear God means throughout the scriptures, it's the idea of having your life properly ordered before God. In other words, why would I make all these other things so much more important in terms of how I'm going to fear or reverence them versus God? I mean, when God gave the law, number one, you shall have no other gods beside me. So the idea was, he's top. Therefore, the fear of God is saying, my whole life needs to be ordered with him at the top.
Yeah,
there can be no other. In other words, that's a proper reverence, a proper, like, humility, surrendering. And in that sense, if you think about it, the other thing too is I think there is just a right kind of, if I can put it this way, trembling before God. We're the creature. He's the creator.
Right.
If we don't tremble before God, I don't think we actually have a proper understanding of who he is. You know, if you look in the Bible, every single time that God revealed even a glimpse of his glory, guess what? People were face down and trembling because it's just overwhelming.
Yes.
So anyway, I think I think the other aspect of fear that we're talking about here is what we might call disordered fear.
Okay.
Does that make sense? In relationship to what fear of God means,
ordered
all
fear.
My other fears are a disordered fear. In other words, I am placing confidence and hope and reverence into things that should not have that kind of control over my life. Does that make sense?
So that order.
So in other words, when I say to you, hey, did you get that done? And all of a sudden you have this fear thing that comes up. What you've basically done is you said, you know what, Jonathan, what you think of me has been placed on a pedestal. Like what, whether I get that thing done for you, you have now been placed in a place where really I should only have that kind of fear of God.
No, that I think you're.
So I think there's an ordered fear and a disordered fear.
Where if I fear your disapproval,
then I have put you in the wrong position in terms of.
But see, that's what happens to all of us.
We're all
everybody
broken.
Everybody has got the fear of disapproval, of failing, right? The fear of, this is interesting what you're saying. The only thing we should really fear is God.
Yeah, in the New Testament, it's put this way, you know, have no fear of man who can only kill your body.
Yeah.
We should have fear of God who can not only kill your body, but send your soul to hell. Now, that's a hard word.
Right.
But it's like, oh, I need to get the proper order in terms of even how my emotional system is operating before God and before others.
This is a really good insight.
We may never get to the 12 skills.
That's all right. That's okay. But the whole idea that my putting you so high that I want your favor is life out of order.
That's a God position. Because God should be the one in which I'm going.
But you know, this is theory but more than reality, right? What you're proposing here.
No, what I think it is, it's truth that we don't often experience.
Yeah, well, that's another way to say it. That's
in other
right,
words, it's not theory like it's not real.
No. It's theory like,
but it's kind of like
can't do that. Or don't do that.
Yeah. Think about, again, the number of times that we're told in Scripture, don't be afraid. Like even when God would try to interact with people, don't be afraid.
Fear not.
He understands, listen, we're overwhelmed by fear in our system.
Yeah.
So I think even that is an indication that it's like you are going to need help in this area.
Right.
You can't do this on your own. And so therefore, you need a source that's greater than you to deal with this.
But where most of us are trained for the approval of others.
Yeah.
Right? It's such a human thing, right? If I fit into my group and they like me, I belong. Mm-hmm. And if I'm different and they make fun of me and I don't belong, then I'm rejected. And so my fear plays to blend in, emerge, and be a part and be liked. But then part of what you're saying is that could be disorder.
Well, what I'm saying is I think that what the beauty of the gospel brings to us is that the reason that we can respond to that command to not be afraid is because what we need to properly be afraid of, Christ has taken for us. In other words, I should tremble before God because he is judge of heaven and earth, and I have no merit before him to say I deserve to be in your presence or whatever. And so therefore, that's an ordered fear of like, I should fear that my soul is eternally damned. But the gospel comes in and says, what you properly deserve has been paid for by Christ, and therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've given you entrance. I've given you the belonging that your heart longs for in a way that another person could never actually give to you.
That's true.
Now,
that's
the way I think this connects then in the quote-unquote real world is that we as believers are to be the people of belonging. In other words, we're to be the ambassadors that say, hey, you know what? Do you feel totally overwhelmed by your fear? Do you feel like you're going to drown? Do you feel like your soul is
right? But there's an under program of where as children we needed people, and there were damaged adults that hurt, and they're right in the emotional realm, because what you're saying makes perfect spiritual sense. But I'm also a physical being and I have emotions. And so I'm trying to get my emotional system and my spiritual system to work in harmony.
And that's what I'm saying is like when I said earlier, you know, there's a truth that we don't haven't necessarily experienced. That's the emotional disconnect that we have. It's like when I say that our penalty has been completely paid by Christ, I think there's something in our spirit leaps for joy.
Right.
And then our emotional system is sitting there scratching its head going, now how does this manifest in
right. That's not my reality. My daily life. I have not belonged anywhere in my whole life.
Right.
They made fun of me at school. My parents called me a freak. My friends called me a name I hated. I've never belonged anywhere. And you're telling me the spiritual truth when my emotional system says the exact opposite.
And that's why I think when I was saying earlier that as Christians, we do bear this responsibility of being people of belonging. It is on us as we are healing and growing to create environments that allow for more of that experiential reality where that disconnect is played. In other words, if somebody can sit in our presence and we go, you know what? You are totally loved. Like, there's nothing you could tell me about what's happened to you or what you've done that would cause me to go, hey, get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. And little by little, I think we create these pockets of, like, gospel belonging where then somebody goes, you mean it's actually possible that I don't have to live under this cloud of fear?
Or protect myself because you're going to reject me, and so I can't really engage you completely. And
now, obviously, we're not the God. We're not the hope. But I think because we are His, we can do a better job of creating those environments. I mean, think about your life. Think about my life. What has been influential in helping us to have a better connection between the spiritual reality and our emotional fear system? Has it not been people along the way, Christians along the way, that have said, hey, you know what? I want to hear your story, and I don't care what it is. But
that's like an emotional love system.
Yeah, well,
as opposed to an emotional fear system.
But isn't that what combats the emotional fear
system?
It's
the opposite, exactly. Emotional love, right? Where I have a place to abide and where I'm forgiven, and if I'm stupid, it's okay because we're all stupid, and love covers a multitude of sins, right?
Right.
And so we're trying to create, even though we're spiritual beings, we're also trying to create an emotional system or emotional place where love rules and love wins, mm-hmm. which is the opposite of rejection and failure and all that.
Right.
So that's the goal, because if somebody introduced me to love and then I participate in that love and enjoy that love and grow that love, then that overrides my fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But most of us have been trained to live with a fear system to protect ourselves. So we're controlling. So we're angry or we're anxious or we're defensive. Why do we say put on a mask or live behind a wall? Mm-hmm. I mean, all this chaos that you say about emotional things, you know? Play a role, be a perfectionist. Anything you can think of emotionally that's goofy is an attempt to hide me from you.
Yeah, and also one of the things that I hope comes out of just this idea of a love emotional system versus the fear emotional system is this was absolutely maybe one of the biggest sort of watershed aha moments for me in recovery mm-hmm. is I didn't realize that my fear system was not just about how I would protect myself, you know, because I think that's a huge part of it, right? I want to, mm-hmm. like in the garden, I want to hide because now I know I'm naked and oh my goodness, and I don't want anybody to know about this. I think also I didn't realize how much that fear system played into a false form of motivation towards righteousness. And what I mean by this is
to look good, talk good.
What so I'll give you. I'll give you an example. False. I'll give you an example. I mean, I was an athlete, and virtually every coach that I ever had, other than one, they operate on a fear system of motivation. Like basically, it's a punitive system.
Oh.
So essentially,
you
better hit this mark, or there's going to be punishment, and so it's kind of like I realized, you know what? Even our fear system is creating the systems of motivation for us to do well.
Or we'll reject you and you'll fail, we'll throw you off the team.
And I never could understand when I'd have Christians in my life that would say, you know, love is a far better motivator than fear. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't even know how to understand that, because my whole life, fear is the system.
Yeah. So here's really a good observation, even motivational. If I can tap your fear and stir you up so you're afraid, you'll overperform.
Then, man, I can get you to do whatever. I can control you.
Right.
And that's one of the things I learned in my recovery. Fear is about control. And here's what I learned about love.
Mean between other people or individually?
Totally. Either way. In other words, like you said, if I know what your fear is, I can control you.
That's right.
And if I certainly know what my fear is, it's controlling me. So,
okay.
So that's what I mean by fear about
it. Fear controls.
And even my own fears, I'm trying to grasp at things that I can have a sense of control about. But here's what made the difference for me. When I realized that fear was about control, and then finally learned that perfect love casts out fear, that love is actually about freedom, because fear is about punishment. Love is actually about saying, you know what, you belong, you are loved.
But I would say fear is also about performance.
Right, right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Performance. For me, it was huge in being able to realize that when I recognize that I'm loved, regardless of my fears, my sin, my behaviors, all of that.
Yeah.
Then it's as if, you know, the chains started coming off. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I realize that when I try to relate to God through my fear, I have this idea of saying that God is even using fear as a control mechanism in my life. Mm. In other words,
well, you better, and why don't you?
That's how I improperly saw fear the Lord. In other words, it's like, okay, I better toe the line. I better keep the law. I better do these things.
Right, right. I think that's what most people—
because God's going to punish me.
He's going to judge me for failing.
Instead of realizing that it's like God says, I love you with an everlasting love. There's nothing that you could ever do that would cause me to not send my son to the cross to die for you. It's actually because of my love for you that I'm going to cover all of those sins. And here's what I discovered. When I recognize that God loves me that way, then my obedience to him can be born out of something other than fear. In other words, when he loves me that way, he says, we love him because he first loved us. In other words, he brought his love system into my fear system.
That's against my fear system. That's right.
And for me, the lights went on when I realized I don't have— now understand, hear me out for just a second, because it'll sound weird at first. I don't have to obey God. I get to obey God. In other words—
And I don't have to perform.
Now, technically, it's like, did God make the law? Did he make me? And in other words, do I have to obey him? Well, of course I do. But if I have that fear system driving me, I'm doing it based on whether or not I'm going to be punished.
Instead of trying to earn love.
Exactly.
And so I can go get your love because I'm so good I can get love from you.
And to realize that the love from him was a grace gift, then I don't know, it just freed my heart. And I started realizing, and that's when I think the real deep work of untangling that fear system started happening. Now, I still have a fear system. It's not like the fear system goes away.
No, that's right.
But in terms of being able to live without being controlled by it.
Right. And the reason it doesn't go away is because it's so ingrained in every cell of this being, right?
Right.
I was yelled at. I was discarded. I was thrown out of the group. I was not included. I was left at my memory, every cell, every fiber of my being remembers that. And the way to get rid of it is just forget your past.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Too bad. You can't
you
do
can't
that.
You
can't
do that. No, but you don't have to live and be driven by it. You're saying there's a whole other system that if you remind yourself, because we slip back into performance and pleasing.
And what I think is amazing about God's love system, if I could put it that way, is it's actually, he's actually willing and patient enough to travel through our fear system with us to show us all those places where you said, you know what, you thought as a little boy that if you didn't do that right, that you wouldn't be loved. Let me tell you, I actually love you. I love that little boy who's scared. I love that little boy who didn't do it always right.
Yes.
And then it's like, you can realize, okay, that doesn't erase the fear system that was developed in that little boy, but wow, it sure brings healing. It brings, yes, it brings a right. new sense a of new purpose. And
it shifts the body. We can go back to rest. It can rise and fall. That little thing can be a little thing again.
So there's our 12 skills for emotional.
There's only one skill is to figure out what wins, the love emotional system or your fear emotional system.
So listeners, thank you for being gracious towards us and listening to us as we're working. Don't you love how essentially we're kind of just working all of this out as we go?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's right. We appreciate you being on the journey with us, and we'd love to hear from you. Like, what are you learning in terms of your own fear system, and how is God and people that God's bringing into your life helping you navigate through healing in that fear system? So please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the
program. God bless you.